Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 186 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, how she can get duped. What? This is all about a book called Duped, Double Lives, False Identities, and the Con Man I Almost Married by New York Times writer Abby Ellen. Oh boy, this is going to be a great show. And before we start, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your reminder to click on iTunes after this episode. We want you to rate and review the show. We're so looking forward to hearing from you because you want to know something? This is going to be that kind of episode. Oh, yeah. We want to hear from you about being duped. Uh-huh. All right. It's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life.
It's all about her.
How many of you been duped out there? Duped? What do you mean duped? Well, it means that, you know, you kind of believe something about someone and it didn't quite turn out that way. Well, there's a brand new book that addresses this. This is the coolest book ever. Give this away for gifts, because honey, I read this and I went, what? It's called Duped, Double Lives, False Identities, and the Con Man I Almost Married. This is written by Abby Ellen, who is an award-winning journalist and the author of Teenage Wasteland, that's W-A-I-S-T for you. A former fat kid weighs in on living large, losing weight, and how parents can help, well, maybe can't help too. And for 5 years, she wrote the Preludes column about young people and money for the Sunday Money and Business section of the New York Times. She's a regular contributor to damn near everything here. I don't know, I could go on forever with this laundry list. And she has clearly been published in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times Magazine, Psychology Today, and there you go. So, Abby, welcome to the Her Podcast. Damn.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So truth and transparency. Abby is not only a fellow writer colleague, she's also a gal pal. And I was so excited when she first told me about this amazing book. I said, seriously? And there she went. Well, you know, it was interesting. I'm gonna read something from the beginning of the book to give you an idea where this goes. All right, here we go. Gaslit.
Okay.
A love story. The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. And that was a little quote from Gloria Steinem, maybe. All right, here
maybe.
We go. I know, maybe. My ex-fiancé orchestrated the raid on Osama bin Laden. He received a Purple Heart for his military service and a Medal of Honor from Golda Meir, which he tucked neatly away in a private vault. He thwarted a bioterrorism attack in New York City and saved the grandson of one of the world's wealthiest men from an attempted kidnapping. I'm just breaking out in a sweat reading this thing. That I know. All this is a privilege in itself. None of it was public. He wasn't in it for glory. He made guest appearances at major events, but refused the acclaim or even a paycheck. He didn't write a book about his escapades or sell his story to Hollywood. His goal wasn't to become rich and famous, but to keep his children and all of America safe from the bad guys. I'm not going to sit by while people are in danger, he'd often say as he packed his bags for a secret mission. It was wonderfully noble, except for one minor detail. None of it was true. Oh, Abby, wow. You wrote this up for Psychology Today. It was a cover story. What happened? What kind of response did you get when you wrote about this?
God, that is so funny. I think you should do the audio file, Pam. It's
do you
fabulous.
Think?
You're great.
Call them now.
I do. Oh, my God. The response was amazing because I got all of these calls from people who said, you know what? I was duped also. And people of all ages. I heard from somebody who was 16 who was being manipulated by a kid at school to somebody who was in their 80s. I mean, it was just across the board. They said, thank you for writing this. And they said, and I wrote them back and I said, you want to be interviewed? They said, absolutely not. We don't want to use our name. So
go figure, right? So
no, well, no, nobody wants to talk about it because everybody, it seems, who's been deceived, really, they're mortified. They are humiliated. They do not talk about it because it's embarrassing to admit that you've been taken, you know, that you were gullible and stupid and you believed something somebody conned you. So my motto is monetize suffering. That's how I deal with it.
Oh, my gosh. You know, stop it, Abby. Jesus, God. So you when did you really decide to write the book? I mean, like, when did it hit you? Oh, my God, I'm on to something huge here.
I'll tell you something. I wanted to write a book originally when I was living with this guy. I lived with him for a year. And the funny thing is we lived in the Watergate, which is like ground zero for deception. So if anything was going to happen, you know, it would be there. But when I was with him, I thought it was interesting because I didn't know if there were so many things that he did that I couldn't know. I didn't know if they were true or not. And so allegedly he was working for the CIA and he was doing all of this stuff. He really was in the military. He was a Navy and he was a doctor. He was one of your colleagues, probably. But anyway,
hey, be cool now.
I know. But what I wanted to do, what I was interested in was writing about something, what it was like to be with somebody when you have such curiosity and your mission in life is to uncover the facts and to know the truth, and to be with somebody who can't tell you the facts and can't tell you the truth because they're doing all this undercover stuff. So that was what I wanted to write about, even after we broke up. But it wasn't, but I kept, and I wasn't able to verify, you know, things didn't add up, but I was never able to verify it until I got a phone call a year and a half after I left this guy from Special Agent Dan Ryan with NCIS, which is not Mark Harmon, but it's the Naval Criminal Investigative Service. And he said, there's a doctor who's been running prescriptions for Vicodin and other things using all these people's names, and you're one of them. Do you know this guy? Do you have a prescription for Vicodin? And I said, I know this guy, and no, I don't like Vicodin. I like Valium, you know? So it was, but that's when I said, okay, now this is what I'm going to write about. Because that was, now I was like, the guy was a pathological liar. And then when I totally kicked into journalist mode and I interviewed his ex-wife and I discovered he had an ex-ex-wife whom I'd never known about. And I discovered he was engaged to someone else when he was engaged to me. So there were, and then he had a girlfriend right after me who was actually intrinsic in his being nailed. So there was all of this stuff to uncover, people he did work with at the Pentagon. So there were all these people who had been duped along with me. And I wanted to know about this. And I knew that my story was not an isolated one. Because this happens all the time. And it's arguably happening. I mean, it's happening every day in our country. So that's a long answer to your question.
No, it's not a long answer. It's like I'm sitting here captivated. Like, oh, my God. But, you know, I chance to say that of our large listening audience out there, there are just a handful of people who've never been really duped. I mean, if anybody, obviously there's a whole spectrum of this. You know, you could be duped, kind of minor duped, you know, duped light. And then you can really get slapped in the head in a big way. And I think a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute. I'm a smart person. How did I get myself into this? What would you say to someone based upon everything you wrote in the book?
I would actually say that smarter people get duped almost more than non-smart people. Not that I'm so brilliant, but, you know, the fact that I am suspicious, the fact that I am a journalist, the fact that I think I could not get duped probably is contributed a lot to my dupage. Because you think I'm invulnerable, and people who are the most vulnerable are, in fact, people who don't realize they are. And also, you know, you think I would know it if somebody was lying to me. You think I, you know, and to my credit, I got out. I left this guy. But but that doesn't mean anything. You know, there's a whole lot of, I knew, but I didn't know. People don't want to admit, they don't want to listen to their gut instincts. They don't want to listen to what's going on. They don't want to listen to that nagging voice that says, this is not right. Because to admit that something is not right means you're going to have to upend your whole life, right? That means I had to get out of the Watergate. That means, I mean, that's a story in itself, but it meant that I was going to have to, you know, figure out what to do with the wedding dress, what I was going to have to do with my engagement ring. I was going to have to say, you know what? This is not going to be the trajectory of my life. And
I hope you kept the damn ring. I mean,
no, I sold the damn ring, and I sold the damn ring, which was great. I sold it. Actually, the funny thing is I sold it on Valentine's Day. We went to the Diamond District in New York, my friend and I. It was great. And so just coincidentally, it was a Valentine's Day. But I still have the dress, and I want to get rid of the dress. I do want to get rid of the dress. So if anybody wants to buy a wedding dress, let me know. But I think that but it was, you know, that was a minor thing. What if now imagine you have kids with somebody? Now imagine that you have, you know, a whole family. Now imagine you have a whole world. Now imagine that you've had 20, 30, 40 years with somebody and you discover that, you know, they're not who they seem to be. Or you don't want to know that. You just don't want to know that. So that's, again, how smarter people, they just don't want to see it. It's willful blindness.
Okay, willful blindness. But, you know, you there's this whole thing about, are you really complicit in all of this being duped? In other words, what role does self-deception play in being duped? You know, people are smart. People have, one would hope, some radar out there for craziness going on around them. But how does all of this play in? Are there people who really should be looking out for more red flags about their own self-deception? How do you work that?
Yes. Yes, that is a great question, too. I think we are complicit. I think I was complicit. I think in that, and I would say complicit with a lowercase c, complicit light. But I didn't, you know, none of the things that he had said were verifiable. And so therefore I thought, okay, well, maybe it's possible. And again, I didn't want to think that somebody would manipulate me to this degree. And I didn't want to think that, you know, I went out with somebody after this guy, and I talk about it in a later chapter, was another kind of dupage. Basically, your basic average cliche, somebody told me he was separated from his wife, you know, and they were separated the way you're separated by your dinner companion, you know, by a plate. I mean, they were not separated at all, but, and I knew that he was lying, but I didn't want to really know it, so I didn't know it. It's the same kind of thing. You have to say, it requires really being honest with yourself and looking at something and saying, I don't think this is right. And nobody, again, nobody wants to do that. It's nice to live in a little fantasy world. It's nice to be in love. It's nice to be desired. It's nice to be, dare I say, happy. Temporarily.
So what you're really saying is that the best of us are caught in a place when you're looking at this whole issue of duped and self-deception. You're caught in a place where maybe you're a little bit more vulnerable because you're looking for that special person. You know, you're looking to be wanted and desired and all of these things. And then, you know, maybe they're also kind of predator-like, looking for someone just like that. And next thing you know, you have this strange interaction where one person is, you know, obviously duping the other, and really the better they are at it, the longer this dupe stays, you know, thus your one-year relationship and the rest of it, despite all the red flags. You didn't want to see them because you were in a mental place where you really wanted to have that relationship and maintain that, dare I say, happiness. And there it was. So, you know, all of us out there have been there, all of us. You know, we really wanted that job to work out. We really, you know, we didn't see the red flags, you know, the completely nutty, bipolar, whatever, boss or something.
Yeah.
We just wanted that damn thing to work. And then it didn't. And then we... And then next thing you know, you didn't get the promotion, you're not getting the bonuses, and, you know, for all intent and purposes, you may be frankly lied to about what's going on in the business relationship, et cetera. I could see this happening at multiple levels. Did you see that in the book?
Absolutely. It's not just in romance. It happens in jobs. It happens with neighbors. Listen, my doorman, I found out that my doorman, who was in my New York apartment, that 3 days before he started working there, had been in a jail in Europe for being a drug dealer. And, you know, he was caught and he had spent all this time there. And then he came here and, you know, he got a job. Nobody questioned. He had this whole other world. He had this whole other life. You know, and he was still sort of involved in the underworld when he was here, I think. And it's, you know, that's not a personal one-on-one relationship, but it's still something that's not quite what you think, right? You don't know who the people are who are guarding your house. You don't know who the people are who are in your house, maybe. You don't know about, this is a romantic one. You know, Charles Lindbergh had like 4 families. I mean, which is, I think, why,
are you serious?
Why he had to take, oh yeah, that's why he had to take up flying, I'm convinced, because he had his family here, and then he had 3 people in Germany. He had 3 women. One was his secretary, one was this other woman, and then the other woman's sister. And he had kids with them all. And it was fascinating because he didn't like people who had any disabilities, and one of the women had problems walking. I mean, which is so goes against, you know, it's really like you never really know who you're dealing with. Maybe you don't even know yourself. He was a eugenicist. I mean, he was not in favor of people who were anything less than the perfect specimen. And yet he was with this person who was quote unquote lame, you know, fascinating. So you never know who's doing what. And it's a bleak way of viewing the world, but maybe it's also good. I don't know.
Well, I think it's an honest way of looking at the world, Abby. You know, and I think one of the greatest gifts you give all of us with this book is an eye opener. Like, let's quit living in, you know, everything is just hunky dory land. You don't know. You don't know, number one, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to be walking around like some paranoid idiot or something. But at the same time, I think what it does is, you know, it heightens your vigilance, your self-awareness. It makes you question, cross-check, you know. But then again, what was one of the titles of your book? It was Verify But Don't Trust. What did you mean by
that? That's right. Well, what I meant, I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to fully trust. And I don't know if that's, I think, do as much verification as you can. But I'm still not sure that trusting completely. I don't know. That's something that's sort of up in the air. You know, there's a way to be in the world. I think it's good to be, you know, questioning. I think it's good to be vigilant. I don't know. You need to trust. I don't know if I can completely. I think if we didn't trust, look, Pam, we trust every day. We trust that the car behind us isn't going to bash into us. We trust that the airplane, that the pilot's not going to take a nosedive, right? We trust that our you know, furnace isn't going to blow up. I mean, we have to trust every day. We, you know, often for no good reason. We just do because we can't function. So I don't know. I don't know necessarily that my way of being is so good, but I think it's important to be vigilant. I also think it's important to go with your gut. And too many of us don't do that, especially women, but I think men too. And somebody said, well, that's sort of a very basic conclusion. And I don't know that it is, actually. I think it's pretty significant. I think we know. I think our body knows when something's awry. It's like you can tell. You can sense when you're in some kind of danger. You know, animals can. So why wouldn't we be able to? And
yeah,
like, I
think a lot of people don't really feel that gut thing as much as they should. Because, you know, as a physician, for instance, I've used my gut more times than I can count. When I walk in a room and I'm like, something's not right. Okay, something's just, you know, and then someone says something and I know for a fact deep inside that I'm not getting the whole story here, or I'm getting double talk, or something else is happening. And then you have to have a whole script for how you're going to deal with that. You know, what are you going to say? And, you know, I'm just like you. I try to be honest to a fall to a certain degree. I love your little, there was a part in your book that I just went crazy over. It was in a chapter when you were talking about how you prize honesty, and that you just decided for a thrill, and to have some fun, to keep a daily log of every mistruth you told. There was this, you know, like every one of these, I'm going, yeah, check, yeah, yeah. So here we go. Once cut a call short, said phone was dying. It was actually at 92%. I know, seriously. Oh my God, I've done that more times I can count. And
yeah,
you know,
totally.
told someone your workout ended at 8:30 and that you can't, you know, go out and get together when the class actually finished at 7:30, you know, because you didn't want to go.
Right.
And these are obviously not earth-shattering, but it's interesting how at a microcosm level, how we play that out in our own lives. But clearly what you were talking about was the big dupe, you know, it's like
the
people
big dupe.
Who
Look,
really get duped, right?
I want someone to lie to me. I want someone to tell me. I was getting my hair cut yesterday. God, the guy sat down and was telling me how good looking I was and how my working out was really helping me. And I said to him, oh, stop. You're saying that to everybody. And I was thrilled. You know, I need to live in that kind of delusion. I need to live in denial. I think to a great degree we all do. Because, and I prize honesty for my friends, and I'm very honest, but I also am a fan of the little white lie. So, like that guy was doing to me, I don't know that living in reality, like blatant, harsh reality, blinding reality is so good. I think we need a little, I think that's why kids need the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. We need to have some kind of wonder. Otherwise, you know. But we all lie all the time to some degree. But yeah, you don't want somebody. I think it's a form of domestic violence. If you're living with somebody and they're not telling you who they are and they have a whole other world that they keep secret from you, I think that's a problem. I think that is a form of abuse. I really do. And that is what I'm talking about. That's just unacceptable.
Well, now, this brings up something else, though. And you mentioned briefly about men and women. You talk about the little pink lie. Pink duping. Yep. Now, are women better at this than men? Do men do this more than women? What goes on with men and women?
It's a good question too. I don't, you know, there's women can dupe just as much as men. I there are men who would say that women are better at it because we can be more manipulative. And you know, pink collar crime. I did not quote. That's not my word, but my term. But it's kind of, you know, when a female CEO commits some kind of a crime or anybody in power and embezzles, whatever, we don't see it as much because women aren't often in those positions to do that. So the theory is that if women were in positions to do that, we would see it more. So it's not that women are so much more noble than men. It's just that we haven't had the opportunity. And in romantic relationships, it absolutely can happen. I have a story in the book about this woman who had a husband and then she had this boyfriend and she kept telling the boyfriend who she was with for 7 years that she was going to leave her husband and their kids knew each other. I mean, everybody was, you know, they were gearing up. She took a Christmas card, two Christmas cards, one for her family with her husband and one just for this guy, you know, that, and their friends so that she made him think that they were going to be together. And she didn't, she was lying to him and He bought it until he couldn't anymore. So I don't think one gender necessarily has it better. I think we're more forgiving of men, actually. I don't think we're as forgiving of women who lie. I think you can see that playing out in politics, right?
Oh,
you
my
can
gosh.
See it, you know, I mean, we see it, you know, the way the response that Hillary Clinton may or may not have done, the way the accusations against her and, you know, the way that, we kind of forgive guys who do whatever they do. We just do. I think we think that women are above it. And so when they're not, we crucify them more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also playing out in the press now, too, in a big way.
Yeah.
Lord knows in this political arena that we're living in right now, say the least. So, you know, is lying innate? I mean, are we just meant to lie or do we just pick this up as we go along? I mean, weren't we born crystal clear, little honest, transparent cutie pies? When do we start picking up all these bad habits?
No, kids lie. There's been studies where kids are crying, you know, to get attention from their parents and the parents come in the room. And as soon as the parents leave, you know, they stop crying. I mean, they wanted what they wanted. They were fine. You know, they just that they weren't, nothing was wrong. The parents thought they were hungry. The parents thought, you know, they were sick. It was, they just wanted some attention. Animals lie. I mean, they obfuscate. They do things. It's survival. No, we don't. Some people are better at it, and that can be a brain thing. But we all have the ability. There's actually a syndrome. You probably know it. It's Williams syndrome, where you cannot tell a lie. And that's, I don't know, where does that come from? That's got to be a brain thing as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal about that. It is a brain thing.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay. I'll look at that. Yeah. Yeah. Which is fascinating. But it's okay. But it's, I think some people are just better at it. You know, some people, look, it's acting. Some people are better actors than others. Some people can sing. Some people can run. I think some people are just, the smarter you are, the more creative you are, the better of a liar you are. The more you can make things up, the more you can improvise. You can think on your feet.
Yeah. So when this kind of thing happens to you, you know, I bet a lot of people wish they had your book when they were last duped in a significant way. Tell us about post-deception stress disorder. You know, how does one get out of this? Is there like, you know, are there groups? Are you know, what do you do?
Well,
how do you take care of yourself once you've really recognized that once you've been duped, and two, that you're really kind of suffering afterwards? You're sitting there saying, huh? So tell us about that.
I think that there's a trauma that happens when you trust somebody and you realize you've been deceived and your whole world is turned upside down and the world that you thought you were living was not. I think it's a huge, enormous trauma. And again, you know, you're not seeing bruises. You're not seeing welts. You're not seeing anything on the outside, but this is all psychological trauma. So it's like a post PTSD almost. But, so a lot of people have gone, there are some websites, you know, there's a community called Love Fraud that was started by a woman who ended up losing hundreds of thousands of dollars to her husband. She's in my book, Dawn Anderson. There's another woman who started a group for the wives of white collar criminals. White Collar Wives is her name, the group. And that's sort of a community for women. A lot of it is legal stuff, right? Because they have the feds after them in many instances. And so it's how you navigate that. But it's also how do you deal with a betrayal? And, you know, I think that there's something to be said about talking about it. I talked about it with everybody, my story. Now I'm a writer. And so to me, it's a story. And it's like it happened to someone else. I mean, I can't, it's so distant to me. It's like a movie. And a lot of people I know kind of condemn me for that. I talked about this in the book, that I was about to get a ghostwriting job, and I was talking with the people who wanted me to ghostwrite, and they said, well, what are you working on? And I said, oh, a story about my ex-fiance who went to jail. And they did not think that looked very, very good for me. They thought,
wow, we trust you.
What are you doing? Yeah, exactly. And I thought, wait, you don't know the story. You're making assumptions. Okay, I get it. You know, you didn't understand. But I think that it's important to talk about it. I don't think it's important. If people feel so humiliated and so mortified and they don't talk about it. And I think that contributes to the shame and the trauma of it, you know, talk about it. It's okay.
Well, I think women go to the shame. They go to the shame, blame, guilt place very quickly. You know, it's a slippery slope. And you know, in reading the chapter on this, look at all the things you said about yourself. You know, I deserve to be alone. I'm an idiot. What, you know, what was I thinking?
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you're just down on yourself. Well, women make this a second career anyway. So why not just dump this in there with everything else? What do you think?
Right. And you know me. Right. No, that's exactly it. It's, you beat yourself up for it. And I think it's also one way to heal is to start to trust your instincts. And that gets into the quote-unquote complicity, is if you can really stop whatever you're doing and look back on the red flags, because I think they exist. And really, you're going to have to take off your rose-colored glasses. You know, I've said this, and it's coincidentally that one of the commander, as I call him, the guy I was engaged to, the girlfriend he had while he was with me. So the woman that he was engaged to while he was with me, he had left her to come to me. But anyway, sees the same expression. It was very strange. And, you know, it was this, that it's hard to see red flags when you're wearing rose-colored glasses. And it's really true. And so I guess, you know, it's like we're all going to have to live a little bit more believing that maybe Santa Claus doesn't exist. And I think when you see things clearly, that's an easier way to heal.
It's not. Oh, I don't think there's any
maybe
question.
Less magic.
Well, you know, as we begin to go forward with our lives, you know, post dupe or two or three, you know, we're looking forward to some of these wonderful gems of wisdom from you because you wrote about it so beautifully. It helps that you're a ridiculously talented writer. One chapter in seeking out some of these answers I loved was, "In God we trust, everyone else we polygraph." I'm sorry, I fell off my chair. I was laughing so hard. I was like, yeah, that's Abby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what did you mean by that? So are we supposed to just sort of, you know, keep our eye open at nighttime? Are we, you know, scoping out extra scoping everything in our life? What are we doing here?
Yes, actually, I heard that from Phil Houston, who was a former CIA director, and he wrote a book called Spy to Lie, and he leads workshops on lie detection. He's wonderful. And, you know, I can't stress this enough. We can't, especially women, but everybody, we can't live with your head in a bubble. You just can't. And so, and anyway, first of all, polygraphs don't work. You know, they're not foolproof, and they're not lie detectors. They're not detecting a lie. They're detecting changes in your heartbeat, in your heart rate, and your respiratory. That's what they're doing. And so then they can tell us, you know, the inquisitor will ask you questions, and then they'll determine based on your responses, your galvanic skin responses, whether it's true or not. So but it's not a lie detector, and there's a way to cheat that. Okay, so that's first of all. But it's just that I just think you can't be too cautious. That's it. I just think you can't be too cautious. And it's a hard dance because you have to be cautious, but also at some point you do have to trust, right? Because you can't live your whole life being skeptical and vigilant and all of that. So there's a dance that I'm still trying to navigate.
You know, as you talk about this, I see this, quite frankly, as a reality blast. You know, I'm kind of laughing a little bit because one of my favorite, whenever I do get to a TV, if not just watching it on my iPad, is Discovery Channel, Investigation Discovery. And they have all these, you know, nasty shows on, you know, the killer neighbor next door and whatever. But they have a boatload of really interesting shows about this duping, you know, women duping men duping women, you know, greedy people doing the duping at work. And it goes on and on. And it kind of, you know, it's an eye opener. I'm saying it's an eye opener to a lot of people who are walking around with those rosy, you know, colored glasses and thinking the world is just, you know, what it is, whatever you show up with at the table, I guess that's who you are. You know, I think it just, what you do, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, is just approach life with an appropriate amount of caution. Take time. Don't be impulsive, you know, with a lot of stuff. And don't be immediately trusting unless you're obviously in a situation where you have no choice. You're stepping on board that plane. I'm sorry. Now, if you happen to see the captain come on board with, you know, two bottles of Jack Daniels, okay, fine. You know, let's hop into action.
You can leave, right?
Yeah, let's do something. Right. But other than that, I mean, or you're in an emergency and you're in front of one of my brethren, right? You're in the ER, the trauma center. I mean, this is not the time to not trust. You're hoping to God everything works out okay.
Really? Well, you know, Pam, I have never seen your credentials. I don't know. Maybe you're not a real doctor. I don't know. I think you are, but, you know.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, it's interesting. Well, look at all the politicians, male and female, who said that they had certain degrees, you know, like they were a graduate of West Point or, you know, they have a Harvard degree, only to find out that every single one of those things was untrue. And then, of course,
there
they...
is a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. There's a whole, there's stolen valor is, you know, what is actually a crime. It's when you are pretending to be somebody who was in a member of the military when you're not, or pretending to be a SEAL. It's a crime. And I get these email blasts from communities who are, that's their mission, is to out these imposters. You know, they've had to dig up people at Arlington who were buried there, and then they discovered that they weren't who they said they were. And the whole family was devastated because they thought that grandpa, you know, had gotten a Purple Heart or whatever. And no, he didn't. He didn't at all. Wasn't, you know, and the Purple Heart he did have, he bought it to 5 and 10. I mean, it's earth shattering. It's really earth shattering. But I guess, yeah, and the politicians and you know, I think it was, there, I have stories about CEOs who got kicked off because they, you know, fabricated parts of their resumes. People do it. And, you know, the thing about the internet is that it's easy to do it, but it's easy to get caught too. So, because you can, you know, you can verify stuff easier.
Well, we
but
can...
you can also make, you know, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, there are websites. They will, you can hire somebody to be, to verify you for your last job, which doesn't, you didn't really have. You can get a fake, you can get people to give you fake resumes. You can get people, you can have fake sounds of airport, you know, apps that will do that. So that you can tell your husband or wife that you're actually on a business trip when in fact you're at the Marriott around the corner, you know, with your paramour. I mean, there are so many different ways now to lie, and it's easier. You can get caught by just looking at somebody's emails or texts. But, you know, you can also have credit cards that, you know, one-shot credit card. You put money on it and then you never see the bill again. So I don't know. I all of that is just, it's a little, I find it terrifying.
Yeah, it really is. And at the end of the day, you know, you could spend half your life trying to vet out and, you know, scope out people's backgrounds and before you really do much of anything. But, you know, like I said, I think one of the biggest gifts you give us is just an eye opener. It's an eye opener to be more self-aware. Take your time. Don't be impulsive. Don't do something crazy. And also, please. You know, please do your own due diligence, you know, before you, especially before you commit to do anything from joining a business partner or a job to taking on a romantic relationship or back and forth. You got to be able to know because you just, I mean, it's a wild and crazy world out there. And so, I love this book.
Thank you. I'm curious about something. You get patients who don't tell the truth, right?
So oh, yeah.
How do you determine if they're omitting facts, if they're fabricating? How do you know? Because people, I imagine people lie. They lie in therapy all the time. So
oh, yeah.
I would think.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. Yeah. And people will begin to live their own fantasy. You know, they'll just sort of go
and
to that place. Yeah. Fantasy becomes reality. And next thing you know, they can't tell the difference. And you end up with some pretty messed up situations. And then you add that to the fact that some people do have mental health issues that really complicate all of this. They'd rather live in a fantasy than what they're living in now. And then so they continue to, you know, fabricate. It just makes life so much more difficult for people around them. It is what it is. Listen, everyone out there, we have been talking to Abby Ellen. She's the author of this brand new book that just came out. Grab this sucker because it is an absolute eye opener. And what I really love about it is that Abby tells the truth about what happened to herself, which was the eye opener for herself. And now she wants to share that wisdom with others. The name of the book is Duped, Double Lives, False Identities, and the Con Man I Almost Married. If you want to learn more about Abby's work, just go to Abby, that's ABBY ELLIN.com, and you'll be able to read about her work as well as this book, because I think this is just fabulous. I can guarantee you, Abby, you're going to be busy on the media circuit because this one is going to get eaten up by every single ounce of media out there. I jumped on it immediately because I know that our Her podcast listeners are all sitting there shaking their heads going, okay, yeah, it happened to me. So help me work this through and understand what happened. So Abby, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
Oh, Pam, thank you as always so much. You're my guru. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. And then everyone out there, now you heard Abby Ellen about her book, Duped. What I want you to do is take a minute now and hit iTunes and rate and review the show. We're just sitting here waiting to hear from you. I can guarantee you that. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter me at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today and stay well.